Tonight in Revelation 17, we have in our songbooks, like we sang tonight, and Bert played the banner of the cross, we sang a song there just a moment ago. I recognize the chorus, didn't recognize the title. We've sang that before. It has to do with battle. We have Onward Christian Soldiers. We have Victory in Jesus. Many, many songs that has to do with warfare. We're called in the Bible soldiers. We're given in the book of Ephesians spiritual armor to wear. And the program of God is a warfare. The program of God is a warfare personally, because you have to battle your flesh. It's your biggest enemy. If you want to know who your biggest enemy is, just go home and look in the mirror. You'll find him right there facing you. That's your biggest enemy. Then you have the world. We don't have much problem with the world. I don't know if anybody that's a born-again Christian, what would be in this world they want. Sick world. Sick world. And then you got the devil. But your biggest enemy is your flesh. So we have a battle every day battling against this flesh. And then there is the battle against the devil. The trickeries, the deception, the advantage he tries to get upon us. The sorceries and so forth, the seductions that we'll be studying on Wednesday night. So clever is he to get people sidetracked. And then we have to fight the world. And boy, I want to tell you, it become and is becoming increasingly more difficult as you find so many of God's chosen people become casualties to the world. Now, chapter 7 and chapter 18 is a battle. It's a battle. It's a judgment. And it's upon three systems. It's upon the religious system of the world. It's upon the political system of the world. And it's upon the economic system of the world. We kind of just peekabooed last Sunday night into it a little bit. We laid some background. The Bible says, by one man, sin entered into the world. By man, not the devil. Satan never brought sin into the world. He's not responsible for bringing sin into the world. Man brought sin into the world. And by one man, religion came into the world. Religion is a system of self-merit. That's about as simply put as you can put it. It's a system. It is a system based upon the humanistic efforts of man to merit favor, work for it, and so forth. That's religions. We don't have religion. We have faith. And anybody that doesn't know the difference between faith and religion might want to make another trip to Calvary. If they don't know the difference between faith and religion, they might want to revisit Calvary and get a true born-again experience. Because, my friend, there is a vast difference. I was born into religion, tradition, philosophical baloney. It had no basis in the Bible. And we're living in difficult days. War is looming. And I'm not talking about the Middle East. I'm talking about the war of God. It's going to be a global war. We have been in wars. In our last century, America, you're a citizen, you're a part of the history of this country. We got drug into World War I. We got drug into World War II. We got drug into the Korean. We got drug into the Vietnam, ugly. Then we got drug into others. Then we had 9/11. You know, these people want to kill us. You do understand that. They want to kill us. They call us the big Satan and Israel the little Satan. You know that. And they chant on the streets of many of these Islamic countries, death to Israel, death to America. They want to kill us. That's their goal. And their goal is to translate the entire American religion, culture, everything, law, over to Islamic. That's what they want. That's their goal. Worldwide. They want to kill us. They're brutal. They have no value of human life. They do not respect human life. They do not respect female. They think more of a dog than they do a female. That's a fact. But boy, you don't hear that brought out. You don't hear that brought out by four congresswomen that are Muslim in our government. They're privileged to sit in some of the highest offices of our land, but in their country, a dog is more respected than they are. They'll never say it. They'll never say it. War is looming. But it's not in the Middle East. It's global. And when you come to chapter 17, God is going to judge this system. By one man, religion came into the world. His name was Cain. Religion has never been a friend of faith. May I say that again? Religion has never been a friend to faith. Not only has it not been a friend to faith, but it has been a great oppressor and opposition to faith. Back in the 1500s, 16, we have what we call the Reformation, where many men that were Jewish priests broke away from Rome, the religion of it, and protested against it. That's where we get the word Protestant. It came from protesting. Luther, Calvin, Knox, Zwingli, on and on. The Wesley. There were hundreds of them. The only problem is God never called to reform anything. They tried to reform Roman Church. God never called to reform a religion. You can't reform a religion. You can't reform something that's not biblically correct. You got to get it biblically correct before you can reform it. And while we give credit and honor to many of the reformers who died at the stake and died at the hand of Rome brutally, their process produced nothing. It produced nothing for the cause of Christ. It developed denominationalism. And denominationalism has caused division. And in these denominations, many of the denominations, there are people that are saved. They're born again. And they've been saved through them. But many of these denominationalism, if you read the church at Sardis in the seven letters that Jesus wrote to the seven churches in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of this book, Sardis represents the period of time of Reformation, and it produced a dead church. You say you have a name, but you're dead. That's what Jesus said to it. And that represented that period of time. Jesus never came to reform Judaism. He told Nicodemus, I came to bring new life. If you want to see the kingdom of God, you got to be born again. He never came to reform anything. God never reforms stuff. He calls people to repentance, not reformation. And there's a big difference between repentance and reformation. Reformation is a work of the flesh. Reformation is something that I do to reform. Reformation will not get you one inch off the ground toward heaven. God called people to repent, not to reform. And I'm not taking away from the courage of many of these reformers. They did a lot of great work and they did a lot of great things. But they went about it the wrong way. You have to get something biblically correct before you build upon it. And many of them did. In time, John and Charles Wesley, they were known as Methodists because they were termed, these men have different methods. Different methods. They called them men of different methods, where came the term Methodist. Different methods than Rome. If John and Charles Wesley, who wrote many good songs in our songbook, if they would know, and I don't know if they know from heaven what's going on or not, but if they could see what was going on in the Methodist church, they would probably regurgitate someplace that would be possible. The Methodist church just split. And you can understand the denomination splitting when a denomination no longer believes in the Bible. And you can understand the denomination splitting when a denomination no longer believes that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And do not believe in His deity. They do not believe in His bodily resurrection. Many of the major fundamental doctrines of the Bible, necessity for salvation. They do not believe in the soul salvation of Christ. They believe that you have to work and part is on you and part on Christ. And they're all screwed up. And you can understand a church dividing over biblical theology and doctrinal theology. But the Methodist church is not splitting over theology. They're splitting over homosexualism. Yes. And can you believe that there's a large part of the Methodist church that stick with that it is right and lovely and blessed to have a homosexual ordained and pastoring a church? Or a lesbian? A great large group of them, because before they divided, they decided, are we going to be large enough? Is it going to leave one side lopsided where we're not going to have enough to continue? When they found out that they were divided to where they both could go on, they split, and whoever wants to follow the homosexual ministries of the Methodists can go that direction, and whoever wants to stay loyal can go their direction. Can you believe it? The denomination split over homosexuality. And homosexuals and lesbians practicing ministry. That's the day we're living in, folks. It's sad. It's sad. And many of these men, the reformers, who broke away from Rome and broke away from totalitarianism, broke away from the dictatorship of Rome. It says in our passage, it rules, it sits upon the waters representing humanity. This system sits upon them, it controls them. And they broke away from it. And they became what we called evangelicals. Evangelicals. And then they start taking upon names. But it produced a dead church. If there's going to be any revival, it's not sent from a reformation. If there's going to be any revival, it's sent from God and the heaven above. And it can start with one man. It can start with one woman. It can start with a child. Revival. We need it in this country. But more than we need it in this country, We need it in our hearts. We need it in our churches, in our homes. Revival. Getting back to the basics. War is looming. And everything you see going on, as I said this morning, and that I've said over the past year or 2 years, when the Bible speaks specifically of three geographical areas of this world, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. And when you hear in the news consistently Russia, China, and the Middle East, there are the three hot spots of the end times. And that's what's in the news, the Middle East. Now, religion has never been a friend to faith. And so what does religion do to faith? Kills it. That's what Cain did to his brother. Abel did nothing against Cain. Abel did nothing to violate Cain's line of life, pathway to life, his purpose and principles in life. Abel did nothing to violate Cain. Cain simply got angry because God said, you're doing a right thing, but you're doing it in a wrong way. You're bringing an offering. That's a good thing, but you're doing it in the wrong way. You're not doing it in the way that I taught your parents. There is a sin offering. He told him that in Genesis chapter 4. There is a sin offering. There is a way to bring it the right way, and you haven't done it. And Cain's countenance fell and got angry, so he couldn't reach heaven and he couldn't get a hold of God, so he did the next thing. He killed Abel. And that's been the system down through the ages. That's been the system of religion. Bert often says and asks prayer for those that's being persecuted in different countries. And it's real. We have basically lived pretty free in this country from any type of persecution. Biblically speaking or spiritually speaking, we've been free from that. Oh, you may go through it in family. You may go through it in friendships. You may go through it in the workplace. But not in society, not in our communities. Like other countries have done. And it's brutal. Religion is brutal. Look what Rome did. Look at the people they burned at the stake. Why did they burn them at the stake? Simply because of their faith. That's religion. And it began with Cain. And Cain not only established it, but he practiced it exactly what religion would do in the future. Anyone that steps outside of the realm of religion and identifies simply by faith the way that Abel did is an enemy of religion. I want you to read with me now Revelation 17 and verse 6. And I saw the woman. Who is the woman? She is the woman that's mentioned in verse 1. And she's given a title that's not very pretty. She's called the whore. And she has committed fornication. Not in the realm that we think of it, but in the realm in the eyes of God. Why? Because it's not of faith. It's not of God. And so I saw the woman drunk. But she's not drunk with alcohol. She's drunken with the blood of the saints. And with the blood of the martyrs. Of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. She is an enemy of Christ and Christ followers. Religion has never been a friend of faith, beginning with Cain. And when you go to the chapter of faith in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the very first man to ever mention in the chapter of faith is Abel. And Cain killed him. And Cain executed the first martyr. Cain killed Abel. No justifiable reason. Now, I just want to show you that. I want to tell you something, friends. If you've never been out of this country, it's hard for you to understand what goes on in these other countries. And I don't say that to be pious and super spiritual. I just say that as fact. If you've never been out of this country, and you've never been in some of these other countries where state religion rules, now, I want to tell you something. You would be far greater thankful to God for America if you did. Because we still have freedom tonight. We still have freedom to meet in this building without any fear. Now, you never know when some madman might walk into a door. You never know that. But as far as the state, as far as the government, they can't come in and shut us down. We have the right. Now, I want to go back and read verse 1 and a few verses. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I'll show unto thee. There it is. The judgment. The judgment. Now this earth has went through 7 years of judgment. Predominantly the last 3.5 years. Severe judgment. Judgment. Of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, let's just clarify it. What's the many waters? Let's just jump over and let's figure it out here. Verse 15 explains what the many waters are. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are, there it is, peoples, multitudes, and nations and tongues, the nations. So the waters represents humanity. Where does a woman sit? Upon them. Upon them. I had a grandpa, he was about 6'4". He weighed about 300 pounds. And I've always been a big boy. He'd get me down and sit on me. He'd get me down and sit on me. I was his favorite. I've got pictures of him where he had me up, way up above his head, holding me up. He actually idolized me. I don't know why he ever sat on me, but he'd get on top of me and sat on me. Whoever you sat on, you got under control. You get into the wrestling, you get on top and get them pinned, you won. You're on top. Nobody on the bottom has ever won. That's where she sits. Verse 2, with whom the kings? There's the political system. Verse 1 is the religious system. Here's the political system. With whom the kings of the earth have committed, and we have this terminology, although it's not in the realm of what we think. It's a spiritual fornication. Committed with the inhabitants of the earth and have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now the kings, verse 12 explains the kings. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings. There's the kingdom. That's the revived Roman Empire. So we got a religious system. We got a political system. Chapter 18, you find the economic system. Let me show it to you. Verse 3 of chapter 18. Verse 3, chapter 18. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed. There it is. Rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now there's a message to true Christianity. In verse 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. So they've been made rich. Rich. And there's more that she says that we'll see next Sunday night. We're going to spend the rest of tonight and next Sunday night, and then we're going to move on to two great events concerning the church. The church. But this is the judgment upon the religious system, the political system, and the economic system of this world. Religion not only controls the political system of this world, religion also controls the economic system of this world. All that's going on tonight in Iran, all that's going on tonight in the Middle East is religious. Nobody will admit it. Nobody will ever in any way acknowledge it. But it's all religious. It's a religious battle. Now I want to show you exactly what this chapter states. Chapter 17, verse 14. Concerning the religious system. Concerning the political system. In verse 14 of chapter 17, and these shall, and the two worst words in the human vocabulary that nobody likes, that newscasters get on, who are anchors whenever they sit at the anchor before the camera and millions of people listening, and they criticize, kick, and condemn. What's their answer? What's their answer? Anybody can kick, condemn, and criticize. What's the answer? These shall make war with who? There it is. There it is. The religious system and the political system, which control the economic system of this world. You don't think the oil and all of that's gazed to a religious political system? Get your head screwed on right. The oil, the minerals, the wealth of this world, it's all controlled through a religious political system. We're just the recipients of it. We're just the humanity that's sitting under this large controlled system that has been going on for over 6,000 years. I get so sick of these so-called journalists who like to sit around and kick everybody and condemn everybody and criticize everybody. What's your answer? What are you going to do with this political system? What are you going to do with this religious system whenever they come to make war? Go crawl a hole? I want to tell you, when you've got bullies running countries and they're out to kill you and your citizens and your people, and they just did. They killed a contractor in Iraq. You know what Iraq's response has been so far? America, get out. That's what Iraq. Now you're talking about regimes. You're not talking about humanity. 99% of the Iranian people applauded and said, praise God, the terror
that terrorized our own people is dead. You won't hear the newscaster say that. Iraqi officials, the regime, who wants the control, who wants the power. It's not the people. It's not the common people that live in the common life. They're happy. It's the regimes. It's the 10 kings that's connected with the religious system who controls and sits upon them and controls them. And the regimes are going to make war. And what do you do? What do you do when somebody kicks you? I had a neighbor, boy, who was about 2 years older than I was. His name was Doc. We grew up together. And he always picked on me because of my size and other things that I won't mention. Unbelievably, later I went to work for him. Worked for him several years. And he continued to pick on him. Pick on me. Well, one night, we were coming home. And I remember this, if it happened 5 minutes ago. I can't remember what I had for dinner, but I can remember that. And we were getting pretty close. He only lived about a mile from where I live. And he was sitting, I was sitting up in the front seat near the driver of the bus, because I was the next one off after him, and he was in a seat behind me. And he just kept picking at me and hitting me in the shoulder and pulling at my ear and so forth. And without, it was just a reflex. I just went around with my fist, bam, bam, bam. I mean, it happened so quick, I didn't even know it happened. Bam, bam, bam. No blood started on. He said, "I'll be out to see you tonight. I'm out to see you tonight." I said, "Come on, boy. Bring it on." You know what? I'd had enough. There was a boy by the name of Klinger who rode the church, who rode the bus from over church down. He loved to pull Anna's nose. He did. Jimmy Klinger. He lives in Columbus. We just laugh about it now. He just loved to grab a hold of her nose and wring it. I grabbed a hold of him right here one day. I said, "You ever touch her nose again, and you won't have one." There's a time to say enough. When you've got people, you're not asking for it, you're not promoting it, you're not in any way attempting to program it, it's not in your agenda, it's not in your, you don't want it. You do everything you can to avoid it. But they kick you long enough, there's time to say enough. It's enough. And this country has been in wars. We've had some brutal ones before the turn of the century, a civil war that still in many areas of the South has not healed. It's a civil war. It was for a right cause. No man, all our Constitution says all men are created equal. 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 You know, women were not permitted to vote until 100 years ago in this country. America doesn't have a pretty, there's some areas in it that's pretty gloomy and dark. But we saw bloodshed in our land. And we're headed for, I'm not worried about Iran. I'm not worried about the Middle East. I'm worried about this country. Because we're divided. And we are split. And it's over this propaganda programming that this fake news, yes, I will use it,
this fake news is propaganding into the millions and millions of ears. And they're going to answer to God someday for it. They're going to answer to God someday for it. What do you do when they come to make war? Now I ask you, write to your Senator Sherrod Brown up there in the liberal area of northwest part of Ohio and ask him, what do you do when they make war? I don't know if Sherrod Brown has enough brains upstairs to answer anything. He is a typical bureaucratic politician. I get so upset with people that have no interest in America, have no interest in you, have no interest in me. They got a political agenda to accomplish their goals. And it is upsetting. It's not what our forefathers ever intended to be. Men ought to rise together. You know what's happening in our country? They're laughing at us in other countries. We are doing exactly what they want us to do, divide. Through their propaganda. And the news outlets are helping them fulfill their cause. And they ought to be put out and put off the air. If you can't prove, listen, there has been politicians and there's been journalists and there's been anchor people that have said things on the air before millions and millions of people, and the fact checker comes along and fact checks and it is an absolute falsehood. You think they come back and retract it? Absolutely not. And I will say, to be honest with everyone, our president says things at times that he better ought to shut his mouth. Because when you check the facts, it's not accurate. It's time for people to be quiet and come together for the common cause of the good of America. This is a blessed, great country. But if we continue down the path that we're going, we're going to be self-destructive. And I'm not worried about Iran, Iraq, Russia, China. I'm worried about the good old land of the USA. We're in trouble tonight. We're in trouble. And these events and this stuff that goes on and is going on, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Just like I said this morning, I got a text from somebody that says, I don't know if this man knows what he's doing or not. Talking about our president. I don't know if he's got enough brains to be able to do what he's doing. I simply wrote back, biblical fulfillment, no man involved. It's an awful day. It's an awful day. It's a day that's preceding the end. It's the storm before the final storm. If you read that right there, these shall make war with the Lamb. Make war. The Lamb didn't make war with them. They made war with Him. Let's get that chronologically correct. Amen?
Amen.
The Lamb didn't make war with them. They made war with Him. Abel never made war with Cain. Cain made war with Abel. And I could go on and on and on and on and on. None of the reformers that came away from Rome, none of them did Rome any harm. None of them did Rome any hurt. None of them did Rome any type of damage. But boy, Rome did a lot of hurt to them. You can go home tonight under the fifth seal and you can read the prayer of the martyrs. The prayer of the martyrs. We'll begin there next Sunday night, the prayer of the martyrs. Now, they're going to get just exactly what they wanted blood, they're going to get blood. They wanted war, they're going to get war. So we got the religious system combining together with the political system, and they're coming together to make war with the Lamb. The Lamb. The Lamb never made war with them. The Lamb came to redeem them. But they wanted war. All right. Sometimes I get a burning sensation inside my heart, and it's not comes resolve it. The only thing you can resolve this heartburn is preach it. I want to tell you, if what's going on in our country don't trouble you, it don't stir you up, something wrong. Pray for this blessed country. Pray for it. We are in trouble. It is self-inflicted, purposely brought on by these foreign nations intermeddling into the minds with propaganda, with people. Then it gets out into society, carried on and promoted greatly through journalism and these so-called anchor people that sit and talk to the people. And people listen to it and believe their propaganda. And it divides. It divides. We have never had a division like we have tonight in our government. We've never had a division. Government has always come together for the better of the people. But they don't care about you and I. So they're not going to come together for the... Oh, I don't care what they say. It makes you want to go out back and regurgitate when you hear them talk. Because it's not what's in their heart. Pray for our country. Pray for our president. He is our president whether you like him or not. I've often said, and I say it again, if he tape his mouth shut and sew his fingers together, he's done a lot of great things for our country. He's done a lot of great things for Israel that no other president would do. He's done a lot of things to fulfill Bible prophecy that had to be done for the latter days. And whether you like him or not, he is our president, duly elected by this country. And we need to respect the office. Need to respect the office. All right. Well, I got most of it burnt out. Thank you for tolerating. Shall we stand? Our Father, thank you for this blessed day we've had in the house of the Lord. You've been good to us. You've allowed us to be in thy presence. We worship you. We adore thee. We praise you for all your goodness to us. Lord, we can't go on the past victories of the previous year. And we don't want to stop due to any kind of problem that we've had in the past year. We don't want to be deployed. We don't want to get displaced. We don't want to get out of the channel of serving you. We don't want past defeats to carry us down into the future. We don't want past victories to cause us to stop going on in the future. We got another year. More things to do, people to reach. We got ministry to conduct, activity, your program to fulfill. Help us, Lord. We need wisdom. We need the mind of thee. As we, as thy small remnant, a part of it on this earth in these troubled days in which we live, we need wisdom from you. As Frosty has taught in Sunday school so graciously and wonderfully, discernment. Discernment. To be able to discern right from wrong. Lord, help us, we pray, and give us that spiritual discernment in these latter days. Thank you for all that came out tonight. Dismiss us with thy blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.